Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast, and today I'm interviewing Vaslav Gregor. We just call him Greg. So, you okay? We just call you Greg.
Oh yeah, definitely. Hi, John.
Okay, so hi, Greg. And Greg has been—I don't know if people in the forum might have noticed. Greg's actually working with us now, so we'll eventually get to how this will be part of the story of how you actually ended up working with us and starting your own website too. So you got a few things going on. And you just completed a photo shoot. I'm just going to pull up our notes here, and then we'll get going. So basically, you might as well start. Where do you want to? You can start us off here, and then I'll kind of follow your lead right now.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, I don't want to get into the basics or where my first encounter in the gym and where I started, because people can just go to the first interview with it.
Oh yeah, because you and I have done a previous interview. Yeah, oh yeah, because you've been in a previous contest. Yes,
exactly. When I actually competed before I started working for AI. But to sum it up, I started training probably around 14 or 15 of age, and I've been training for about three and a half year, and I was still skinny. I didn't really improve, which I think is pretty incredible achievement after 3 years of still looking the same.
That's actually hard to do when you're trying to change and you don't. That's actually difficult to do.
Exactly.
And you think something would change, right?
Yeah. And then I stumbled across the Adonis Index. I'm not sure how exactly. I think it was through some banner. And I started training, doing the diet approach, and here I am after 2 years, and I think that the difference is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and we have pictures on the blog too. So now you just finished. We as we're recording this, we haven't even grabbed all your pictures. I just had my first look at them. Like today. So we'll have to actually go through them and put a couple of up. And so that's your. I guess, how many times have you done a photo shoot?
Well, I was trying to do some progress shots like every 2 months, but it was just, you know, a snapshot of how I looked in a mirror or just with some basic lighting. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't kind of really a photo shoot. But for the, 85, I think, that I competed in, I actually found a pretty cheap photographer and a studio, and we did a proper photo shoot, which was my first one, and pretty interesting experience, to say at least. So this makes it just my second professional photo shoot, pretty much.
Yeah, that's interesting. You learn a lot at each one. So I've been in a few. I've never myself necessarily been professionally shot, so to speak, but we've been involved in them and help coaching people. So yeah, you learn a lot once everything's set up. And now we actually have our own I don't want to say in-house photographer, but we have somebody who's doing our photos now and also helping coach us up on it, specifically in our gym. So
yeah,
it's totally different.
Yeah, I know what I mean. Like, people think that it's just like a snapshot of reality, but I was interested in photography when I was younger, like as a teenager, and in graphics, and I know that there's a lot more into it, and there's even more when you are shooting humans. So,
versus landscapes and other things.
Yeah, exactly. So what actually goes into each professional photo shoot that people see, they have just no idea what really goes into it. They see just that end result on the cover, you know, where everybody looks relaxed and like it's just, you know, every other day in the gym, you know?
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is if one of the flashes doesn't go off or if the lighting's in the wrong spot, you get two totally different looks. It's the same you know, you're just standing there. You haven't moved. And in one picture, the average person online would think you're, you know, 10 pounds heavier than the next picture over, and all it was the lighting got moved around.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Not just the lighting. It's like, you know, the pose itself, because some of the more difficult poses, you don't really know how you look like. So that I learned that today when I was doing some more difficult ones, when the photographer was actually guiding me how to put my fingers, how to put my hands, Not much, but you know, just some tips. So that was interesting as well.
Yeah, and like for instance, we just did one yesterday with one of the girls, and we had our photographer in, and we set up the lighting for the first time in our gym, and some of his flashes weren't going off. Like they're all done on like timers and stuff, or they're coordinated with the. Anyway, sometimes the flash would work, and sometimes it wouldn't. And then you'd end up with a real good pick and then a terrible pick. And the model's standing there, same room, same everything. It's just one flash isn't working. And you'd swear that it's two different people or that she's, you know, months apart, but all it really is just lighting. I kind of think that this industry, I think it's a good exercise to go through the photo shoot for no other reason than it teaches you what's really behind everything in this industry. And you can have a better view of what you're really doing in the gym or what you're really – I think you become more confident that you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I look good. And really, really, you have to kind of see yourself in a real well-done photo shoot to recognize that. Kind of like you told me before we started recording, you said your abs came through better than you expected on some of the pictures. And that's almost everybody who does a good shoot, the first time they see a real good pic of themselves, they're like, oh, I didn't know I looked like that. Like it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I actually learned just 2 days ago that I had a visible obliques because when I do like a really good shoot with my phone where it really showed, but before I would just go past the mirror and you know it would look like yesterday, so not much.
Oh yeah, so you didn't notice, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like yeah, I was a bit frustrated that I will show up like with no abs, you know.
Yeah, well that's the thing, and I think Jason Gottlieb mentioned it that you can get used to what you look like and not realize that you've made much change. And so a picture is the best way to actually stop and really see that you've made a change. Because if you just look in the mirror, you're kind of like, oh, it's about what I looked like yesterday. So, you know, it's probably the same. And you don't get to see what the mirror doesn't show what you look like two years ago or 2 months ago. It shows what you look like 2 minutes ago, right?
So. Yeah, and not only that, but in a mirror, there's a lot of like mental stuff going on, not just you know the room lighting and stuff, but you really it's like I think that's a lot of it's really subjective or I'm not sure how to put it that you can see yourself like looking better or looking worse than you actually are, but when you put the photo up in our PC and also maybe like compare it to some others, you can lie to yourself, right? You see this in our PC, so.
Yeah, you can do a lot more self-deception in front of a mirror, yeah. But when you're looking at a picture, there's no lying. That's actually what you look like.
Yeah, so I really like encourage everybody and recommend like taking the photo shoots, not just for the reasons you said, like learning what's really behind it, because yes, every photo shoot will teach you some lessons, but you will also get in a great shape, like all the guys that competed and even the girls, they said that they've gotten in an amazing shape and the photo shoot kept them accountable. So I think that's a great way of using this and you will have amazing photos of yourself early. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a good accountability tool that people wouldn't have anticipated until they booked it or kind of started thinking about it. I mean accountability. I don't care how you go about getting it. If it needs to come in the form of a photo shoot, then do it. Like me, got to do it one way or another.
Yeah, like I'm doing like I said, like monthly or 2 months progress shoot. But if I want to really prepare or get improve from the last time or last photo shoot, I will schedule a professional photo shoot where I have to show up in front of a photographer and pay for that hour. So that will make me really work hard, you know.
Yeah, the motivation has to come from somewhere, and it's what you value. If you value it enough and you test it out and it actually got you where you wanted to go, then it's useful. Like you can't, you know what I mean? Like it's, some people might not think that it's worth the money and then that's fine. But if it's, you know, I think most people listening would at least have some belief that, you know, that the way their body looks matters. So this is one way to like keep yourself motivated. I think everyone should do it. I think everyone should do that plus a DEXA if they can.
That's a good idea. I actually today I found university with DEXA and BudBud in my city. So for next shoot, I'll be doing what you did, basically, getting you know, specific and the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and then you can start doing more targeted training as you move forward on areas that you want to improve. Plus you'll get a little bit, and like you and I said before, I know we're getting a little off topic here, but like you and I said before we started recording was eventually even the numbers, even your measurement numbers and even the DEXA numbers eventually don't matter. It all always comes back down to look. But along the way, once you get really used to what everything, I guess the ultimate goal is just to get to the part where you can just go purely based off look. But along the way, you do need to learn what that look means, like what the body weight, what the measurements, and what if you do a DEXA scan or get some sort of composition measurement, a bod pod. Eventually, you want to be able to correlate all those things to a look, and then from there, you can just work off of the look.
Oh yeah, you're totally right about the measurements. It's really, really, really hard to track down the results because in the gym it's pretty easy. You know, you write down the amount of sets and reps you did, if you did supersets or pyramids, and then the weights. That's what I do. I have since I started. I've been tracking this stuff down, so I have 2 years of exercise in my sheet. But with the body measurements, it's a bit difficult. So once you get in a decent shape, it's pointless, you know. So like I told you before the interview, I will just calculate my AI and then look at the photos. So I don't really care how big my measurement tape says, or how to put it, how big my bicep is. Or what the measurement tape says. I'll just look at the pictures and, here I can improve, maybe here. You know, if I have 500 pictures from different angles, I think that I get a pretty accurate guess at how I look, so.
Yeah, and then you can make an evaluation on where you want to bring things up.
Yeah.
All right, so then let's get into what you learned this time through.
Well, what do we want to start with? With, like, the diet and training, or?
I mean, I like the note. Well, we have just for everyone to know, we're working off a couple of notes anyways. We have a rough idea of where we want to go with this, but I like what you point out that you. Right off the bat, that you said nothing's perfect, and you actually got sick a couple of times. Like that's,
Oh, got it.
you can still make changes even if there's going to be setbacks. Like every single time, we've heard this story over and over, but it's true. Like every single time, something comes up.
Yeah, I actually went through all of the interviews and several of them like twice or three times, especially for the girls when I was working on them. So I heard this really a lot, and especially the women were talking often about that. You know, there are some bad days, good days, you know, and they were using like the stickers for the calendar when they had a good day and stuff like that. So that got me really thinking because I was usually frustrated, not depressed, but really frustrated when things weren't going as planned, or, you know, I got sick because I tried to do everything I can to improve myself in different areas. So I really tried to work on everything pretty much the day after day. So when I get sick, not only that this kind of routine stops, but it kind of sets me backwards. And it's the worst thing is that when I was preparing for the photo shoot, I had scheduled the interview with you. I have scheduled the photo shoot, and you know, it was really important for me to get this done, you know, to not let myself down, not let you down and do this interview and finally get stuff going for AI. And then I got sick right at the beginning for maybe 2 weeks. So that pissed me off a bit. So I got better and started training. But I don't think that I told you this, but I got sick again. And that was like 3 weeks ago. So
No,
like,
no, yeah, you never told me that.
oh, okay. So almost before the photo shoot, you know? And,
I got sick last week, right on the day I was supposed to do a photo shoot.
yeah.
It's the
So,
worst.
do you remember that when I texted you that I lost my voice so I can't call you? Also, that was the time that I got also sick. Not only that I lost my voice, but I got really, really big sore throat, so I couldn't even speak even if I didn't lose the vice. So for maybe 5 or 6 days, I couldn't work out and do anything. So I at least tried to not eat too much. I think that Jason Haynes recommended me that like a year ago. When you get sick, so at least don't try to overeat and keep the calories low so you can...
Oh, yeah, otherwise you'll just start gaining while you're sitting around, yeah.
Yeah, and plus you can focus at least on something.
Yeah, okay, so then let's move on to, like, the diet then, would you?
Okay.
How'd that part go?
Yeah, maybe I'm looking at the nose. And one more thing, that so not only that I got sick twice, but actually another stuff happened today when I was doing the photo shoot. Like, I told you that, but once again... Like I will, I agreed with my photographer that she will bring 2 dumbbells. I guess they were like 20, 25 pounds each. But in the morning, she realized that she can't lift both of them, so she has to. She can only take one. And when I woke up and read the message, she was already in town, and you know she weren't at home anymore.
So she couldn't go back and get it.
Yeah. Exactly. Plus, it would probably mess up her schedule, and she would have to pay more for the fuel if she would have to go home again just for some stupid dumbbell for me. So, but yeah, that was pretty funny to start the date of the photo shoot with this message on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's the reason why any dumbbell pick, you've only got one in your hand instead of two.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. It looks kind of ridiculous, but at least something.
That's all right. They actually turned out.
Yeah, I tried to be a little bit creative with it. Mm. Anyway, so, okay, do you have something?
Yeah, no, let's move on to the diet.
Okay. Well, for the diet, I know like a lot of guys talk about supplements. It's really funny that the really experienced guys, at least in my gym, but I guess it's everywhere, like don't really, they never seem to talk about supplements. I've never seen them take anyone, you know, that like those people that run to the bathroom to take their BCAAs or protein
like
whatever.
Right afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen them do anything like it. And they look amazing. A few of them are actually former bodybuilders or like police officers who are really in a good shape. Mm-hmm. But then there are those young guys that seem to know like about every supplement there is on the market, and they talk about it all the time in the gym. I remember that I was in a shower and I heard some guys, and the voice, I would say that they were like 28 or something. So I thought that they would be in a great shape, and they were talking about protein, and like for 10 minutes, they were going on and on and on about how amazing the results is and how cheaper it is getting and stuff like that. And then I was standing in front of the gym like every 20 minutes later and waiting for a friend of mine. And then they walk out of the gym and they looked like they were probably 2 times skinnier than I am in my before pictures. So I was like, what the hell? Like, just...
Oh, yeah. And that's typical, right? Like,
yeah.
The people who are most into supplements are the youngest people with the least amount of training experience.
Yeah, I'm pretty used to it now, but it still seems kind of odd, you know, that they don't, like, look around and see that the experienced guys actually don't care about the supplements and they are, you know, really dedicated to training. Mm. Or another story, like, I was... just sipping water in between sets, and some guy approached me and he asked me, I thought that he will ask some about some exercises, and his first question was, what supplement do you take? I was like, creatine, and like most of the time not even that, maybe. Like, and it was like, yeah, I don't believe you, what do you take? Like, I want to know. Like, I was okay, well, take that and see you next time.
He actually didn't believe you?
Yeah, he didn't believe me, so I told him to take some protein and whatever.
You just start making things up?
Yeah. I didn't know what to tell him. Or another time, a guy approached me, and he didn't at least ask about supplements, but still, he asked what exercises are good for bicep development. And I tried to, and that my biceps look really good and really big, so I told him that like I train my biceps for the most part of the year, I train it like just once a week and maybe twice a week. Mm-hmm. So I really focus on my shoulders, back, and chest. And he didn't get it and was like, yeah, but I want a bigger bicep. Like, yeah, but I was trying to tell him that it will come with time, you know, mm-hmm. but he should focus on the overall V-shape, you know. But again, pointless conversation. So I told him to do EZ curls and a regular dumbbell curls, whatever.
Yeah, do you get to the point where you just don't talk to people?
About fitness? Mm-hmm. I don't really talk about it much. Maybe with two people, and even with them, I really don't tell exactly what I do because I know that there's no, it's pointless to do it because they do like bulking and they buy all the supplements and stuff like that. So they don't really get it.
Yeah, it's not talking to them is going to get you nowhere and it's going to get them nowhere. So there's no point.
Yeah.
All right. So, just continue on the diet side then. How did it go in general?
Okay. Well, maybe before I get to the diet part, I was actually talking with a friend of mine who was doing the bulking and he was just bulking up and he told me that I am pretty lean and he would love to cut down to my level. But I got blown away by his second question. So the first one was that he would like to get to my level of body fat. And the second question he asked me was when I am going to bulk up. So I was like, okay, so you want to look like me, but you are telling me to bulk up. Just kind of doesn't make sense, really. So.
People still don't get it.
Yeah, so back to our questions, this is why I don't really talk about the fitness or my approach very often.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because then you're going to end up, it's just not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, about the diet, well, for the past 2 years, I was using the principles of ESC and AGD, the Eat Beat and Anything Goes diet. Mm. And this time I actually added the approach from the reverse taper diet, or the diet that some of the guys may know as a contest diet, mm-hmm. where you start low and work your way up to maintenance. Apart from the last week or maybe last 4 or 5 days where I tried to stay in a fairly deficit, maybe like 300 calories or 400 calories created by exercise. So I would show up with, visible abs and stuff like that.
Yep.
But I think that makes sense that most people will get it. But the reverse taper, yeah, it worked well for me. The biggest challenge is that the diet is pretty hard or difficult for me to do because I've always been lean. I've never been overweight. On my before pictures, I don't have visible abs, but it's because I'm underconditioned and, you know, I'm probably, 12, 13, maybe 14% body fat, so it doesn't really show. But
oh, yeah, because the muscles just need to be more developed to actually show, yeah.
Yeah, so now my abs are starting to show up, but still the diet is pretty hard because I am really low in body fat, so I can't do some crazy diets or really long fast. So not only I can't do this, but it's hard. So when you combine all of it, it takes a freaking lot of time, or it takes really long for me to see any results, mm-hmm. which may seem a bit frustrating on some days.
That makes sense. So reverse taper helps. So where were your calories like on a daily basis, do you think?
Well, I am like, I know that Naomi told me that she loved my approach for the 85 contest where I placed, that I could actually eat 3,000 calories. Mm-hmm. So since my BMR is somewhere around 20-24, let's say, mm-hmm. let's put it this way. Using the calculator you provided and experience and my experience I have for the past 2 years, I think that it's really 20, 23, something like that, 100 calories. I can really afford to just guess what I eat and what I burn. So if I do some low intensity cardio and really challenging workout like IXP combined with the BMR and maybe like walking in the school and moving around all day because I'm pretty active, I think that I should get over 3,000 calories. So I if I burn on average below 3,000 calories, maybe like 2,800, I think that for the most part, I was eating around 24, 25. So I think that I was creating, let's say, 250, 300 calories a day on average.
So you were keeping it pretty conservative, not pushing it too hard, and that's what you had to do. And was that then that was more or less manageable then?
Yeah, like this really works for me. I know that this might sound terrible because I'm not giving specific numbers. Like what I'm actually saying is it's pretty terrible advice because I'm saying that I don't count calories. You know, I don't know exactly what my BMR is and stuff like that. But I know that there are so many errors that it's better if I just guess what it is and see what works and track the results. And when I compare where I was 6 months ago, this seems to work. So I take my BMR as, you know, let's say the 2200, regular AI workout as 300 and IXP as 450 maybe. And then I do a lot of walking throughout the day. So if I keep the calories around 2500 calories on average, I know I'm in a deficit. So.
And that doesn't leave you feeling miserable.
Oh, exactly. And I can still enjoy some weekly like barbecues, parties, or whatever if I keep it fairly low.
So that's pretty good. So, and that's kind of the point of all of this is eventually to be able to eyeball it. So, do you get to the point where you've got your idea of the same foods that you like to eat and how they all fit in? Like, you don't really measure food then either, do you?
No, I don't really weigh broccoli and chicken. Don't worry about it. At the beginning, I tried to calculate like the calories to a single digit. It was pretty funny looking back. And I tried to eat like 1,600-1,700 calories when I look probably a year ago. But it just wasn't manageable, and I was pretty much lying to myself because I know that I wasn't just eating that low because I just couldn't do it. But I would still like write down, you know, 1,800, and then two months later, I would realize that I was eating like 500 more. So it's like this tracking it was pointless.
Yeah.
So I and then when I got the reverse taper, I got a little bit more serious about this and actually calculated that if my BMR is at, you know, 2200, then I can eat. Maybe you remember this, that we agreed that probably the best way for me will be to eat at my BMR or maintenance level and then create a deficit with the exercise and walking.
Yeah, given your age and your leanness, yeah, that made the most sense. I think that's one point that people miss on the reverse taper is you can at least attempt to force to lose weight faster. The reverse taper diet, the point of it is to be able to diet without losing muscle mass, and the two main features, without losing muscle mass and to avoid a rebound. Like, that's the whole point of it. There's faster ways to lose weight, but what they do is increase the risk of binging and crashing afterwards. And for someone like yourself, where you're pretty lean and you don't have a long way to go, it, like you said, you tried to push it harder and it just wasn't working. So
yeah, and just couldn't do it. Like, it was too low, and I knew it then, and I know it now that I just can't do it. Like, I can do it for a day, two, but then if I start eating again, like, more, I will just overeat to compensate for those days, you know. The appetite will be just so high that I will just eat back up.
Yeah, so it didn't matter if you could set the goal as low as you want, but there's just no way you're going to make it.
Yeah, because I can eat, like, I mean, I can eat a ton, and for my whole life, for the past 20 years, I was lean, so just, like, it's really hard to get to that lower level where you actually burn some calories, you know? So this approach, like, creating just the deficit with the exercise really helped, and maybe actually I could tap into exactly how I was structuring my diet throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah, but I also think the key point here is at the end, if you're close to your ideal AI or you have low body fat, and this is, I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this as an instructional to everyone listening. The whole point of the reverse taper style, you have to use your exercise and extra carb. You have to. This isn't an option. You must use exercise to create the deficit. So the, when you use the calculator, you as in anybody listening, and you type in your numbers, and you're like, well, wait a minute, that seems too high. That's a, at that point, you have to add in more exercise. That's the whole point. That's the why the calculator is set up the way it's set up. If you want to burn faster and not use any of the information we have in that, and the reverse taper is supposed to work, then sure, cut your calories as low as you want, but that's completely backwards. It's not the point. The point is at the end, all of your deficit comes from exercise. Like, that's the point. And that's what you and I agreed on, and that's how it works. But that's also what makes it sustainable. So it's, you know, like people, I think everyone's missed that point with the reverse taper. Like, you didn't, but like a lot of people, but I coach you directly. So some people miss that point completely, that's at the end, yes, you have to sign up for significantly more exercise, and that's why.
Yeah, well, I know, I think that I know probably why it did, and also why it happened to me, because at the beginning, when I was listening to the interviews, everyone was talking about, you know, eating below your BMR, but the issue is that not all of the advice, even though it's good, is applicable to your current state, considering where you come from, where you are, and where you want to get. So somebody who needs to lose like 50 pounds, he should probably, like, or she should probably eat below the BMR if she wants to make a quick change. But, you know, for me, like, it's just like a couple of pounds, and I can't really eat that low, even though it's like more than most people can eat during the day. I still can't get to that level because it's too low for me. So
yeah, and then you're unproductive, and then you're thinking about food all day, and then you blow it anyways. Even if you try and you put your best foot forward, by the end of the day, you're eating back up. So instead of fight it, go with it. You got to go with what your body's giving you. And the calculations we've come up, I feel like I'm just pitching reverse or sort of defending it.
Yeah.
But the reason the calculations came out the way they came out is actually based on the way the body burns fat. Like, we're not making this up. So, and the reason we even researched it was because we know people like yourself and everyone who gets close has these problems. We started that research because we knew from interviewing a lot of different fitness coaches that they find that their competitors need to do, quote, refeed days.
Yeah.
That was like, and so we're like, well, why do they have to constantly refeed these people? And it's because they've been eating too low for too long. So that's where reverse taper comes in. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think people just have to accept the fact that it's slow at the end.
Yeah, I think, who was it? Eric, who said
Eric
about...
Ledeen, yeah.
Who said that he's introducing the refeed days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it took me about a year to realize that, you know, how should I structure my diet, you know, because it was still good advice, you know, I, from the interviews, it worked for the guys, but then it hit me, you know, I was like, aha, this isn't maybe the advice I should follow, you know, because I'm at a different body fat level than they are, so I need to structure it differently, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you're in a bit of a different situation because you're younger.
Oh yeah.
Your body fat level's low. Your major goal really is building muscle. Like, if you just keep building muscle, that alone changes your body fat percentage, right? Like, if you add 5 pounds of muscle mass over the next year, your body fat percentage drops just because there's more mass.
Yeah.
You don't even have to lose any fat. Like, it just, the percentage will go down, and then it'll show through. Like, on your body, you probably don't even need to lose much more fat, if any, right now. The bigger the muscles get, the more they'll show.
Yeah, it's just like, simply we can compare the photos you have and I have, you know, if we are pretty much close to each other.
As far as body fat.
As far as body fat, but, you know, then you compare the muscle mass, and big change happens, you know? So, this is exactly what you just said. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get in. Unless you have anything left on diet, let's get into how your training went.
Yeah, sure. But okay. Well, to finish the diet with how I structure my day, maybe, and then get to the training part. Well, maybe let's start with it. When I first read the Istobee, the first version, I tried the 24-hour fast, and I did them for about 10 months. And few months ago, I realized that it's not really helping me because, like I said earlier, I just eat back up. So what I started doing, because right now I'm fine with not eating for a day, but then I will eat back up, so it just kind of doesn't make sense. So what I started doing was fasting for 5 days in a row, but I am not doing 24-hour fast. I am doing 12 to 17-hour fast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I will wake up.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
Yeah. I will wake up, do my morning routine to, you know, just prepare for a day and have my coffee with just a little sip of milk, really not much. So, like, I know that Pilon would probably disagree with me, but it's really so low that I don't think that that there are some significant effects on the fasting. Mm-hmm. So I will have my coffee, almost just black, and I'll just get to work. I will work. If I have school, I will go to school. If not, I will just focus on the work. Then in an hour or 2 hours, I will go to the gym, do my workout. After gym, I will again work or go to school for 2 or 3 hours, depending on the day. And then probably 3, 4, maybe 5 p.m. on some days, I will actually sit down, take a 20-minute nap, and have a lunch, breakfast, whatever you want to call it. I will just have first meal of my day. And this works great for me because after really several months of fasting, I got used to it, to the feeling, and now I don't even want to work or work out in the fat state because, like, I like to give this analogy that lions actually hunt when they are fasted and then sleep when they are fed, you know? And I think that it kind of is pretty similar to how humans react to food, because if you just don't have an apple, if you actually have at least 500-calorie meal, which most of us take usually, or what we consider a meal, then we get like sleepy, tired and stuff like that. And you don't want to work or you don't want to go to the gym, and you know what I mean? So
yeah, and then that's why people need to over-caffeinate just to stay awake. So they're putting themselves to sleep with food and then trying to wake back up with coffee, caffeine. And there's this vicious cycle of trying to falling asleep. It's just you're never really awake, but you're never really resting either because you've caffeinated all day long. So then at the end of the day, yeah, it's just a disaster. I think it's why that whole keeping the food low during the day and then finishing your day with more food. Not everyone does it, but I do that. You do that. It's the way I've found is best.
Yeah, I think that we should really focus on the workouts, on the work throughout the day. And then the evening when we get more alert maybe, or, you know, our senses heighten, then we should just relax, have fun, go socialize and eat, you know. That's a perfect evening for me. Have a food, go out, you know, have fun, relax and stuff like that. But for the 14 hours before, I want to be productive. I want to get my work done, go to school. I want to get my workouts done and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it makes sense. You match your food with your sort of – when you're at work, you're at work and food doesn't belong there. And then afterwards you socialize and mix your food with your social life.
And I mean, like, I have a lot of stuff to do during the day. I have to get my workout done. I have to take care of school, you know, the work for you and maybe just at least a bit for myself. So I don't even have time to eat, like, you know what I mean? So, and I also need to stay productive. So this, it's kind of really, it's perfect for me to just fast for maybe 14, 15 hours on average and then go have fun and grab some food. And I can also, have some amazing meals, you know, because since I can eat from 24 to 2800 calories, I can have pretty much anything, you know.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are jealous of that right now, considering
Oh, yeah.
how much you can eat. Well, and I guess we haven't told everyone how tall you are. You're like, what, 6'2"?
Yeah, I'm 6'2", yeah.
Yeah, and there's a chance you could definitely end up taller than that, right? So
I don't think so. Got it. Because I'm pretty much the same height I was a year ago, so I don't think that I will get any taller.
But you could.
Yeah, I could, but I doubt it. I got really tall when I was like, what was it, 14 and 16 mm-hmm. back then. But for the past year or so, not much really.
All right, so let's move on to training then.
Okay. Well, like I said, for the first 3 years, it was just about lifting weights and working out. Like, I think that if there are some younger guys listening, they should listen to that interview because I talk about this a lot and I talk about the different techniques and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But after that, I started training with the AI and a lot of stuff improved. My workouts completely changed. I started going to the gym instead of just 2 days a week, 2 days a week, 4 days a week. I also bought an iPhone so I can finally listen to music in the gym and not really care what's going on around me. That mm-hmm. that also helps. And the results are pretty mind-blowing, I think. And it's really just the workouts. I didn't, like, I changed few stuff, but that's maybe like 3 or 4%. That's responsible for the results, like stuff like creatine and things like this. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really what everyone listening who looks a bit similar like I do on my before pictures should do, really just focus on the workouts. At first I did the AI 2.0, then I did the MBF, and twice I did the AI 3.0. And for this photo shoot alone, I did the IXP workouts.
All right. So what did you think of those? I remember at the beginning, you looked at them and didn't think you could actually do them.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember that I was actually putting the links to the videos, if you know what I mean, in that PDF. So I kind of knew what they are all about, but I didn't really have time to kind of try them because I was in the middle of AI 3.0. So I was like, yeah, there are some supersets and maybe pyramids. I've done that already in the rages and boosters, you know, so like, yeah, nothing really interesting. And then you got me into trying them. You said at least a week, but then I said like, hell, I can do the whole 3 months. So I started doing it, and the first month was okay. Like, it was just some supersets. It was tough, but nothing that I would not expect. But then the second month, when I was like preparing for the next week and just choosing the weights, you know, that I was writing down next to the exercise so I would know how much I can lift. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this must be a mistake because like there were six exercises in a row, you know, without any kind of rest. I was like, it just either you are insane. or you made a mistake, or you just sent me a wrong file and you are trying to make fun of me, you know? So I was like, what the hell? So I couldn't believe that you actually wanted me to do six exercises in a row. But funny enough, after 2 weeks, I just realized that there is more strength and endurance in me than I ever thought there was. Like, sure, I couldn't choose as heavy weights as I could for the AI 3.0, the main workout, but still, like, I could do pretty heavy weights for all of the exercises, like six in a row. So that was pretty interesting experience for me, that I have so much strength and endurance that I could do something like that.
Yeah, and I remember you kind of saying that to me on one of our calls. You were kind of I remember you actually looked at it. You're like, I don't know if I can do that. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you can't do that? I mean, I've done it, and we've tested it and we've already had. I mean, at this point, people had already done it and given feedback, so I don't understand why you were saying you couldn't. And
well, I thought that I'm just not there, you know, like the anabolic again and stuff like that. I was like, I'm not in a good condition enough to do those workouts. That's what I thought at that point.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and I think we also got to the point where you were picturing using way heavier weights than I think it requires. So you figured it out, but that's I like the way you said you, and then you learned that you have more strength and endurance than you thought, and a lot of people have that. They just haven't pushed themselves, and
yeah.
Some of the, like, for instance, MBF, a lot of people are like, whoa, 5 days a week? I can't train 5 days a week. I'm like, sure you can. You've just never tried. A lot of people very few people have ever reached overtraining or will reach overtraining because they've never trained enough to get there. And now if you feel like a workout's too much, it's usually because the person's underconditioned or just not ready yet. But true, like, underconditioning, anyone can be underconditioned for a given workout. If you've never worked out before, two workouts a week's already too much, right? So
yeah.
Underconditioning is different than overtraining. Underconditioning, because you can always condition your way up. Now, the most highly trained elite strength athlete in the world, now they might be someone who knows how to push hard enough and often enough to actually get to real overtraining. So overtraining is something that is a physiological thing that happens to all people, like at a certain level, like the human body just can't do it. Underconditioning is specific to your conditioning level. And, you know, depending on who you are, almost any workout can push you over the edge. Right. So that's why when some of my workouts might, you know, some of our workouts might look like too much. It's not like I don't ever design something that someone can't, like, I don't put a workout out or design something that requires you to be an Olympic level power athlete to do it. Like, that's kind of silly. I borrow some of those ideas, but what happens is people learn, like, oh, I actually can push harder than I thought.
Yeah, well, people don't want to, like, work hard, you know, so, yeah, that's
yeah, you know what? You said it, but yeah, they don't. A lot of people don't. Now, I'm not saying anyone here doesn't. I'm just saying people in general, get a little scared when they see that. They're like, oh, I don't know if I'm capable of that. It's easy to imagine the workout you've seen before, or one that's very similar to one you've done. You're like, oh, yeah, I can do that. That looks okay. And then when you see one that's a little bit different or off the wall, or just the set structure is really weird or the timing, and then you start thinking, man, is that going to hurt? Can I really do that? And then all of a sudden you doubt it because you haven't done it. Then you do it for a couple weeks. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. It was hard, but I get it. It's rare to come across a workout where you just flat out are incapable of getting through it. And I don't think there's a virtue in that. There's no point in having a workout that just makes you vomit and pass out. That's just stupid. Like, that's not training. That's just, I don't know, self-mortification. There's no point in doing workouts that do that to you. So,
Like, it's not a workout for beginners. Like, if you've never been to a gym, well, I wouldn't probably start with IXP or ATS. But I think that if guys are at least anything like me, like, before doing the IXP, I've been working out with AI for a year and a half, and I've been going to the gym for pretty much 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I definitely had enough conditioning to do it. I just didn't believe in myself enough to do it, you know. But I pushed through and I did it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to say it. Like, you probably – it was never designed to be for beginners. It's meant to be advanced. That's why it sort of sits where it sits. Same like with ATS. Those two are sort of – they're advanced. There's no other way of saying it. So you do need, I would say, about a year under your belt before you really do those ones.
Yeah, That's exactly what I said on the forum, that I should train, that I think that people should train for about a year before trying the IXP or ATS. But in this call, I just feel obligated to, like, make a note about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there you go. And then we didn't discuss that ahead of time. It's about just, we just both came up with roughly the same number.
Yeah.
And that's when you could probably get, because before a year, you might not get much out of it. It might just be... That actually might be an underconditioning thing where it breaks down a little bit and you're like, I didn't like it, sort of thing. So you got to be kind of ready for them.
Yeah. And probably getting back to the training, IXP wasn't the only thing I did. I actually was testing a lot of stuff after I was done with the IXP.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing, I filmed few videos with me exercising. I just took 10 minutes rest and then do a few lifts and discuss my form and technique with few bodybuilders and friends of mine who have a bit more experience than I do, and I've tried some Olympic training lifting under like really good coaches and stuff like that, and we figure out a lot of ways that I can improve, or not really doing wrong, but just little tweaks here and there. For example, when I was doing the flat bench barbell press for my chest, I would have my hands really close, so my triceps was, since I was training my triceps a lot in this exercise, it was, my hands were limiting me with the weight I could use and actually work my chest a bit more, and I also couldn't put the barbell low enough to like stretch the chest muscle groups, you know.
Yeah.
So after reviewing the videos, they told me to put the hands a bit, to have basically wider grip. And this is because when I was training with a buddy of mine a few years back, he's shorter than me, so he has shorter like limbs and, you know, the hands. So I would just check where he puts his hands on the barbell. And
and you did the same.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that I have to like move it four centimeters like wider than him. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. And we figured out a lot of other stuff. Like, okay, go on.
No, it's good to have experienced lifters check your form.
Yeah.
Because they'll have crossed a lot of these bridges and can get you. They can help fix a lot of problems right away if you can get someone who's a good coach.
Yeah. That's basically what I did, and I did the same thing for my squats because I injured my knee a few years back, and I have a lot of problems with it. And at the beginning of starting the I couldn't even do the leg days because my knee just hurts whenever I would like walk on the stairs, so I couldn't even do the squat. But I work on it a lot, and now my knees don't really hurt. Only if I don't train for more than 2 or 3 weeks, then I feel slight pain. And also a great thing I discovered is that this is not applicable for everyone having knee injuries and stuff like that, but my issue is probably with the knee is kind of higher, almost above the knee. So what I'm doing is that after each leg workout, sometimes twice a week, I will go on the machine, the leg extensions, if you know what I mean. And I will pick like really light weights, like 20, 25 pounds, maybe not even that. And I will do two sets of 20 repetitions. But I will do just the last 20 or 30% of the movement. So I won't put the legs down and really focus on the vasts of the quadriceps. And I found out that this really helped me out a lot.
Yeah, and that's key. For anyone who has any nagging injury, you have to address it, and you have to be on top of it. And you don't just fix it for good. You have to be on top of it constantly, just the way you are. I'm doing the same thing for a couple of things. I twisted an ankle, and I messed up a hamstring playing some sports. So it you have to be aware of it. You can get through it, but you just have to be aware of it and be on top of it.
Yeah, like doctors told me to just stop training, but
that's a useless answer.
Yeah, but they don't want to get into details, and that they don't really know exactly what to do and stuff like that. Like, not like I don't want to be rude to like anyone who has studied medicine, but just like I am glad that I didn't take this advice and I actually addressed the issue, like you said, and started training it and focusing on different ways of training, because right now I feel fine.
Well, and that's the thing. You just got to seek out another opinion.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, if you have a physician, just say stop training. I wouldn't leave it at that. I would look for another opinion.
Yeah, that's not a good idea to stop training. Okay, so that's one thing that I did after IXP. Second thing is that I talk with a few guys that are a bit older, and also on the forum with Joe and. I know that, who was it? I think Rohan was posting some good videos. mm-hmm. about, you know, that pretty much after after the last few months, I've came into a realization that weights are pretty much irrelevant. Because in my first interview, I was speaking a lot about the technique, because it's just not about lifting. It's actually about perfect technique and, you know, mastering the form. Mm-hmm. But I've realized that there's one more thing to it. It's not that, yes, you have to have some kind of resistance and you have to have a good form. But then there's one more thing, and that's the muscle or mind-muscle connection, where how much a lot of the really top bodybuilders talk about it. Like I know that even Arnold Schwarzenegger mentioned it a few times, mm-hmm. that the ability to really focus and like dive in on the muscle and how much can you actually contract it and squeeze it and really activate the muscle, then you can just work out with your warm up weights. You know, it's just it makes so much difference. You will stay away from the injury. You will not be as sore the next day, and you will see, I think, pretty noticeable results just after a few months.
Yeah, and that's something people don't get. I see a lot of the young guys in the gym just moving weight around, but they're not thinking about the muscle. So that's something you learn. Something most people learn over a longer period of time, but you're doing a good job of getting to it sooner, which is good, yeah. Because you'll prevent injuries later. Like me and Pilon were just total meatheads. We just lifted as heavy as when we were younger, it was just heavy, 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 and we ended up getting injured like constantly. And so now we're both kind of worse for the wear because of it. So we've set ourselves up to have to deal with chronic injuries over time.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's just what we did to ourselves, so now we have to deal with it. But you know, I wish I'd have thought of that sooner, because I do a lot of what you say now. I never pick up the heavier weights. It just it's of no benefit to me at this point. I still get what I need out of sort of moderate weights. Now that's within reason. You're going to get stronger over time. Like right now, I'm stronger than I was 10 years ago, obviously. But I don't have to use, relatively speaking, the weight. Like absolute value, the weight's still heavier, but relatively speaking, I'm not pushing as heavy as I could push right now. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
But I'm still getting what I need out of it.
Yeah, I've noticed that going back in my tracking sheet that I'm actually lowering weights a bit, but that's because I'm really trying to focus on the contraction. And mm-hmm. also it might sound a bit silly, but what I'm trying to do is like imagine I'm in the actual muscle and
that's right. Yeah, you put your I say put your awareness in the muscle.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it. Because at the beginning, I was like looking around, you know, what's going on while doing like the curls or something. But now I'm trying to not only like focus on the lift, but also really focus on the actual contraction. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think that if like I put it in an equation, then it really comes down to like creating resistance, having a well-structured workout, having a good training style, a form or the technique. And then the last thing that I didn't know in the past interview is the style. Okay, you know, how much you can focus on the muscle and squeeze it, do the contraction. That's the last but important thing, I think.
For training.
For training, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's training covered. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, we can talk about the boosters I did after IXP as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because what I noticed that, like, I think that I've created a pretty decent V-shape, and I try to focus on it a lot. Like, that's, you know, that's my concept, you know, the V-shape, that's what I learned from AI, earlier, the shoulders, back, and chest. But what I've noticed is that I have really weak calves and the abs. And the AI workouts didn't really help me with this because, like, not everyone has this issue. And as you get stronger, the core gets stronger and stuff like that. But I really wanted to work on this. So I was trying a lot of stuff. I was doing crunches. I was doing calf raises on the Smith machine and really a lot of stuff, but just didn't work. So I put my mind into it, and what I come up with was at least 3 or 4 times a week, I started doing, after each training session. At first it was AI 3.0, and in the last few months it was the IXP. I was dedicating 10 minutes to calf, usually some supersets, pyramids, exercises with really or very little rest. So it was like you would feel a really big pump, let's put it this way, in the calves, but it was an intense work for a full 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But since it was at the end of the workout, and the calves are very, very small muscle groups, and also, I don't know if the word is endurance for this type of thing, but I think it's, you know, the endurance is pretty high, but, or how to put it.
No, yeah, that's right. It's a muscle can handle like a lot of volume.
Yeah, since, you know, it's carrying your body every day. So that's what I did. And after doing the calf workout, you know, that my hands and core would be a bit relaxed and, you know, wouldn't be as much tired after the regular IXP, I started training the core and the abs, and I would do that for probably 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I focus on stuff like leg raises, regenerator rows, on planks, really good exercises. And I also started doing some stuff for the obliques. And I did it consistently every week. I did it after each training session, but guys don't have to. Just like I said.
Yeah, you can even start adding it in one day a week, work up to two, and then see what volume you can handle.
So that's what I did. And combined with the reverse taper, looking at the pictures and comparing, I think that I've pretty much achieved my expectations for this spring, that I really got the visible six-pack, including the obliques. So
it worked, basically.
So, yeah, and it worked. And also, like, maybe you can talk about it. I don't know if it's by this time the interview goes up, it will be ready.
Oh, what, the boosters themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it. So, Greg, the boosters you made will be part of the new booster series we have. And I don't know if they'll be, well, we can still announce it, that they'll be there, the calf boosters that you created and the ab booster, because people have been asking about it. So, that's something, nobody knows this, but you and I have been working on that. And so that's your first, contribution to our workout system, that we worked on together. So it'll be around somewhere. If it's not up when this is recorded, by the time this goes live, if it's not up, it'll be up shortly.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've tested it. Like, I've been doing it from, what is it? Not October, probably December. I was like trying to figure this stuff out. So what I did was created like several levels, 1, 2, 3, depending on where guys come from, what are their experiences and stuff like that, so they can choose and see how it works. And looking at my photos, I think that the apps definitely help, and I will probably have to do some shots of my calves and see how much it changed. But just looking in the mirror, I think that it helped a lot too. The issue with figuring out the core wasn't that difficult once I had the exercises nailed down and stopped doing stuff like crunches and stuff like that. It was pretty easy to do, to design the workout. But the calves were a bit tricky because they can handle a lot. And I mean, like, you can do a ton of work for your calves, and if you are not like Howard, you will never see them grow. So,
yeah.
So you have to do even more than that, like, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing with calves for people who need to build them up, it's if you want to tell them one thing, it's going to take more than you expected.
Yeah,
that's basically the take home message. And the other crappy thing, or the other sort of sobering thing, is people who are genetically gifted with big calves. You can improve your calves, but I don't know that they're ever going to look like someone like Howard's calves. Like, they're just – there's a difference between – yeah, you know, you can build them up, but it's just those people who are just have massive genetic calves, they – I don't know what's going on there, but there's – you know, It's just, it's really hard to build them up to that degree.
Yeah. Well.
Alright, so, okay, well, where do we want to get to?
Well, we've covered the diet, the training, and we can just put the link for the boosters in the blog post.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep,
I would
for sure.
probably just, you know, or maybe do some final notes on the feedback I got.
Yeah, because we're on to an hour here, so we should.
Yeah.
Let's just give your final thoughts, and then we can always do another interview. Anyways, we can talk about other things as things come up.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's give your sort of final thoughts.
Well, if you guys are looking at the pictures, what I see is pretty much an everyday look. Like I think that I roughly looked like this almost every day. The issue with the sharpness and stuff like that is obviously the water. I did a slight water depletion where I usually drink like 4 or 5 liters a day. So what I did for the past week was I bumped it up to 8 or 9, and then for the last 2 days I drink just 2 liters. Mm-hmm. So I think that it created a bit sharper look, but I think it didn't make such a drastic difference that it's still like, because my goal was to create an everyday, you know, look, not like mm-hmm. some insane ripped without any water in the body look. But the issue with being lean is that if you eat a lot, if you drink a lot, and then certain types of food will affect your look almost instantly or within a few hours.
Mm.
So you can wake up and be ripped, but in the evening you can be bloated and have no abs, you know. It would look like you have a beer belly, so just, you know.
Be aware that that happens.
Be aware.
Don't let it mess with your head.
Yeah. That's probably for the photo shoot. I think that as far as the diet and training, we've covered that. So just, I don't know, if you have some questions.
Oh, and well, I guess the final thing is you're going to be contributing to the blog too. There'll be some new people contributing to the blog. Greg, will be writing about stuff that applies to guys in his age group, so that I know me and Pilon tend to talk sometimes more to people we're assuming are 30, over 30 years old, and I just know that sometimes we're talking about stuff that doesn't matter to guys who still have a long way to go. So Greg, you're going to be contributing to the blog, so that's something we're kind of announcing too. and there'll be a few other people contributing, so that's something else I wanted to mention. You did point out one thing that I kind of like, and that you've chosen like a kind of a goal model as someone that's in your same height range, and that's kind of important. We try to tell people to not compare themselves to others, but they're going to do it anyways. So if you're going to bother comparing yourself to somebody, at the very least, pick somebody who's got somewhat of a similar body. So if you're 6'2", like Greg, don't pick someone who's 5'4" as your goal, because they're just going to have different proportions and a different style than you could ever possibly have. So if you're going to do it, you might as well at least choose a model who's similar to you. Otherwise, it's just never, you could be setting yourself up for a bit of a fail if you're picking someone who doesn't have a similar body. Also, and another interesting thing you pointed out is the advice is kind of specific you get from us. You're going to be hearing from people in the interviews like all the time. And sometimes the advice is coming from older guys or guys that are younger than you or older than you. So you got to kind of be selective with the stuff that seems to be most in line with what works for you. So, and that's partly why you're going to be contributing with us, because you're going through stuff that other guys your age are going through, whereas, you know, it's been 19 years for me or whatever, 18 years ago I went through that stuff, so it's a long time for me to be going through what somebody else who's 19 years old is going through, but you're going through it right now, so it helps. It helps a lot to hear from you.
And I was compared to you, you know, if guys read the manual, compared to you, I was pretty lucky to find out about this stuff at early age, so I can, you know, give, I think, pretty good insights, you know, how to deal with the beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, because I can't, because I wasn't, I was doing something completely different at that age, so I was making all kinds of mistakes. So, well, I think that's pretty good. Do you have anything else you want to finish with?
Well, maybe just some final thoughts that I'm just glad that I started focusing more on the shoulders and, you know, getting. And I am also glad that I dedicated the past 5 years and 2 years to AR workouts because I've developed a pretty decent shape, you know, and I'm getting great feedback from other people. You know, people are treating me completely different, especially the when I get to new social circles. Mm-hmm. I've stopped being scared of having my own opinions, putting myself out there, and either in real life or online. And I started enjoying my life more, working really hard on myself at the same time, and it really helps a lot in other areas as well, because I think that my theory is that there are three areas of life you should focus on, like your business and finances being one area, second area being your social life, dating life, and stuff like that, and the third is actually your how much energy do you get if you are healthy, and most important, and then how you look, you know, your physique. So these three areas, and funny enough, when I started focusing on the physique and everything else just improved, like, almost instantly. You know, I've got my social life and my business life handled to, I couldn't imagine, to the point where that I couldn't imagine 5 years ago, you know. So,
it's kind of like the proof of the Adonis effect, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome.
Well, all right. Maybe one last thing. If you guys have any questions, just shoot me a message on the forum, in the AI community, and if you have like some ideas for the blog post or stuff you want to hear about, just let me know, and I will try to address it in the future. And also,
Go ahead.
And if you are on the forum, you can look forward for some more stuff from the photo shoots. I will also also upload some photos comparing like pale skin versus tan, the water depletion, stuff I ate and stuff like that. So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Yeah, and that goes for anything. If you're trying to, if you got an issue or something comes up, you can always ask Greg too, if you can't get a hold of me or Howard. So that's just another resource for everyone. Okay, that was great. So for Fast Life, Gregor.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. Well, we'll probably do another one sometime soon.
Yep.
So for Fast Life, Gregor, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.